Hey, Freedom Family, welcome to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller. I am the founder and host of this series. Every other week, we'll bring you some of the most life-giving conversations that will empower you to overcome your shame, own your truth, and unlock your freedom. Thank you for joining this conversation today. Now let your freedom journey begin. Hey, Freedom Family, welcome back to the Unlock Your Freedom podcast. My name is Kira Miller, and I am the founder and host of this series. Today's guest, we had Dylan Brady, who talked about having Tourette's and not really allowing that to define his entire life. So he talked about how it's been a piece of him and how he actually has struggled with that, but he hasn't allowed it to define him. And so I'm really stoked to share this one with you today, because if you struggle with shame and you really desire freedom in your life, well, I absolutely believe that his story is going to help you to do just that. So yeah, here we go.
Cool.
So who would you say Dylan Brady was in the beginning of your journey with like insecurity and anxiety?
It's a big question. I think honestly, just at the heart of it all, like, just Dylan Brady is just a boy who loves singing and a boy who loves music. And like, a lot of things have branched from there, mm-hmm. good things and bad things. But at the heart of it all, like, is just it comes down to a kid who loves to play music.
So how would you say that maybe all of your anxiety that you started out with in life, like, where did that play out in school, in mm-hmm. relationships, in your music career?
My mom says that ever since I was like a baby, one, I was trying to sing, I was trying to play music before I could even talk, but I was always the anxious kid, always the worrier, always like, I mean, I had all different anxieties growing up, but as far as with the music and how it tied in, there's good things and bad things. Like, when I'm playing music, my anxiety goes away.
Okay.
And for my Tourette syndrome, I mean, mm-hmm. my tics virtually go away when I'm playing.
Really? Okay.
But at the same time, growing up, being a dude who sings, who wears skinny jeans, and like, you get a lot of crap for it.
Okay.
And so I already was getting bullied throughout just different things in life. But with the music, once somebody starts doing something outside of the norm, that's when bullying starts.
Absolutely.
And even if it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, if it's outside of the norm, mm-hmm. then that's where it all stems from. And so my anxiety, I mean, growing up, I had to leave school and go to a different school because I was getting bullied. And then with the music, I was in this new school and I met great friends, but I started doing something that was different. And mm-hmm. it was like all hell broke loose on Dylan, because what boy who is straight sings, that's what they pretty much like, Dylan's gay. Dylan, like,
interesting.
But I'm like, one, it wouldn't matter, but two, it's not true. Mm-hmm. And three, what's wrong with doing that? If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So my anxiety going to school every day was ready to hear people saying stuff behind my back, and ready to hear people saying stuff to my face, or ready to see it on social media. And I never strayed from what I was doing, mm-hmm. because, like, as I said, from day one, I was gonna be doing this. There's nothing else I was gonna do in life. But even though I wasn't straying from it, there was still that feeling of like, well, I wish people would like me for doing this. You know, if that makes any sense?
Yep.
So good things and bad things come from it. As I said, like, my anxiety goes away when I'm playing, but coming with it, people say some bad things.
Right. So, do you feel like knowing that walking into school that you might be bullied, do you feel like that really almost added to your anxiety? Like, when you walked in, you're just like, oh, I'm already expecting this. So
I had a preconceived idea that people were not going to like Dylan for who Dylan was, because that's who Dylan is. At my core, as I said, I am just a kid who loves to sing, a kid who loves music. And so 100%. I mean, I have the best friends in the world back home. But there's also a lot of people who did not like what I was doing. And so I knew going, I mean, for example, I was in a duo with my brother way back. It was called the Brady Brothers.
Okay.
And we had this show in our hometown. We weren't doing crazy stuff, but like, we were gaining a fan base on socials, and like, we were playing consistent shows, and we had this show and we put up posters around our town, and people wrote the worst things you could ever say about somebody all over these posters around town.
Dang.
Just because we were doing something we love.
Yeah.
And it's like, I knew going into school, I knew going into wherever I was, that if people knew what I was doing, a lot of people would like it, but a lot of people would also be like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that? Like, what people would say on social media, like, people are a little bit, I think people are, what's the word I'm looking for? more, I think they're a little more bold on social media because they can say something and yeah. they're behind a screen, right. you know? So I knew going to school, my anxiety was usually off the charts. And I mean, I didn't, as I said, I didn't stray from it. I'm very confident in who I am, confident in what I'm doing, confident in what I have and everything. But regardless, people say stuff and it hurts.
Yeah. So. Was there like a musical influence in your family or did you guys just sort of pick it up yourselves?
Well, my dad plays and sings.
Okay.
And my first concert ever. So my dad would play. My parents just moved to Nashville about 7 months ago.
Okay.
And I've been here for a little under 3 years.
So they moved here like for you?
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Because my mom is from all over down south. So that's why I love country, even though I'm from New York.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I listen to Flats and Tim McGraw and sick. Dixie Chicks and Colin Ray and all the above growing up. Because of my mom. But my dad grew up in the house I grew up in. And he played every summer, the last show of the summer, at this little concert, a little park in our town where concerts would happen.
Yeah.
And my first concert, I was 10 years old or 11 years old. And pretty I sang young. No Surprise by Daughtry with my dad.
What?
And so, yeah. And we played No Surprise by Daughtry. And there's a video of me with my little backwards hat on singing with my dad. And so my dad is really where it started it all.
Okay.
And he says that if he could have moved to Nashville 30 years ago, he would have done it and pursued it too. I mean, he still plays to this day. And I borrow his guitar sometimes when I'm at his place, at my parents' place. But my dad was the one who got us into it, hands down. And it was my dad who got us into playing, but my mom who got me into the music I love. So
you kind of probably always felt different, like, outside of your family, but inside, like within your family, you felt like you were probably fitting in pretty well.
Oh yeah, my parents are the best parents in the entire world. Mm-hmm. They're the fun parents. My dad's also just a total nerd, but he's still a fun dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And they get it wholeheartedly. I mean, I went to Belmont for a year, and I left Belmont, and not many parents will let their kids leave college for pursuing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my brother played with me, and we're twins. He's
wild. Okay.
So much smarter than I am, and so that's why he stopped doing music things. And he's gonna be a veterinarian. And I have my big sister is my best friend.
Okay.
And so in my family it was great, and listen, I had great friends, like mm-hmm. I have the best friends in the world back home, my group of guys, but people said things where I felt insecure about what I was doing.
Totally. So how did you feel that like really affecting you and maybe like relationships and specifically in your music too? Like, did it stall you at first by any means?
I don't necessarily think it stalled me. Well, I mean, even on, like, you can say minimal things, like mm-hmm. posting certain things on Instagram. Like, I was ready to feel what people were saying to me. Like, and I wouldn't necessarily stop doing it, but I at least was like, well, I'm ready to see what people are going to comment on this. And there's a lot of great comments. We're developing a fan base that is incredible, and they're so supportive.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's also that... three people who say something, they're like,
right, and you see, why are you being me? And that's all you see.
exactly. So it never, I never strayed, as I said, and I never, it did affect my music because it gave me another reason to push a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been the person who works harder than everybody else, as conceited as it sounds. It's just I've always had to work harder for things. Like my twin brother, he picks up an instrument, he can play it.
Okay.
He picks up anything in life and he can do it. Dang. I'm not that way. I hated living with him growing up.
Yeah.
But I always had to be the one working the hardest. Okay. And so to have somebody pushing back, that just wants you to push even more. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So that's, sort of, I guess,
competition?
How it, yeah.
Like a healthy competition?
Healthy competition. And like, I just always had a drive for it, and why not prove them wrong?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So.
Huh. With your like family dynamics, would you say that your older brother was maybe like, not the more perfect child, but it sounds like, because within my family.
We say my sister's the favorite child.
Is she the oldest?
She's the oldest. She's 29.
Okay.
And then my brother's 7 minutes older than me.
Okay.
No, it's funny.
So you're like sort of the youngest child.
I was the baby.
Yeah.
Even though I'm 7 minutes younger.
I'm still the baby.
Yeah. My sister's hands down the favorite child, and we know it. I want her to be the favorite child because she's the best person in the world. No, but the family dynamic was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, they get what I'm doing. They love what I'm doing. My dad loves it because he loves it. Totally. My mom has parent goggles on. Even if I bring a bad song home, she loves it.
Really?
Yeah.
So what would you say to people who maybe, like, don't have that great of a support system, both within their family and like externally too at school and stuff. Like, how do you, because there are tons of people who, you know, are trying to do a different thing than what the norm is, yeah, but they don't necessarily have that support system.
Yeah.
Like, what would you say to them?
Well,
to get that
support, I had a
system?
Friend, I had a roommate. I just moved out of this different house into a new house, and now okay, I live with my manager. But I was in this house, and this dude, he was having a really rough, really, really rough patch. Mm-hmm. He plays music, and his family was never supportive, never, okay, ever supportive of what he's doing, not moving to Nashville. And I pretty much told him that he needs to find his own family because his own family is not being the family he needs.
Okay.
And so there's always going to be somebody for you. There's always going to be a – there always is going to – you might not have it right now, but there's mm-hmm. going to be people that will act as that.
Right.
And the way he did it is he decided to go back to school. And
okay,
he – I'm assuming – I haven't really talked to him in a while, but he found a friend group. He found a family there.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what you're doing – a lot of people are going to say things that are bad about it, but
yeah,
tenfold, the nice things people say are going to win in the end, if that makes any
yeah,
sense. And so finding those people that love you for what you're doing and love you for who you are, and as cheesy as it sounds, there are those people out there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean your family. I mean, your family is your family by blood, but you can also find the people that
right,
act actually as your family, if
right,
that makes any
and
sense.
There are people out there,
there
that
are,
like, are going to connect
exactly
with
as
you.
I said, I have my best friends in the world back home. I had a great
yeah,
family dynamic growing up. I have my best friends here, my best friends at home.
Mm-hmm.
I have an incredible group of people who love me just as
right
for what I'm doing. Even though there's those 10 people on Instagram comments who say something bad about it, there's
yeah,
those people who are saying great things about
on
it too.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And then what would you say, like, with your anxiety and like knowing that you're insecure and stuff like that, when did you feel like that was really kind of exposed to you?
Because
I feel like when we're younger, we kind of go through life and like we don't really recognize that stuff.
Yeah.
But then something for me, like something happened in my life where it was sort of like a reckoning experience where my life just like sort of hit me in the face. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, shoot, like this is what I struggle with. And
yeah,
like this is a serious problem. And here's how I can.
Well, it was less of
it.
I think it was less of a slap in the face and more like, okay, how can I make something good out of this?
Okay.
So like when I was diagnosed with Tourette's when I was 13.
Okay.
And so I went to this one school growing up and there was 30 kids in the class. Nobody had it.
Whoa.
I'd never heard of it in my entire life. And
yeah,
I was getting bullied by somebody. So I left school to a different school.
Okay.
And I met my best friend of this day, Danny, back home. And all of a sudden I saw him going like that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him going like this. I had no way. I had never heard of Tourette's.
Huh.
I asked him what it was or what he was doing. And he explained what he was doing. And I was like, oh my God, that's a light bulb.
Whoa,
and
so you didn't even know what you had.
No, I had no idea.
Okay.
I remember driving home from my aunt and uncle's upstate, and I was 12,
mm-hmm,
and I was sniffing like crazy, going like that.
Okay.
And it's one of my tics, now that we know.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom was like, Dylan, why are you sniffing so much? And I was like, I don't know, I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
She was like, could you try and stop? Because she was worried
right,
someone was going to make fun of me. And
interesting.
And I remember growing up, I would hit my hands together like this. And I'd say, sorry and excuse me, like randomly.
Okay.
Very polite tics. So we
yeah,
didn't know we're tics at that point.
Okay.
And so I asked Danny what he was doing, and it was pretty much a light bulb. I went home, talked to my mom. We went to my doctor, went to a neurologist, got diagnosed with Tourette's.
Okay.
And a lot of people could see that as something that's going to hold them back.
Mm-hmm.
Because
totally,
it's something that, as I said, makes you different, and that's when people are, it's outside the norm, and that's when people
right,
are going to center
people
in on you.
People might call it a disability when really it's
exactly,
like you bring something else to the table that
well,
no
that's
one
the
else
thing,
does.
Well, that's the thing, is like, how can I make this positive?
Yeah,
how can I
totally,
make this an impact in my life, but also other people's lives, more
mm-hmm,
importantly? So I found out about this thing called the Tourette Syndrome Association, which is now called the National Tourette Syndrome Association of America, which
okay,
is just a tongue twister compared.
Yeah.
But they have
like
this thing
a
called a youth ambassador program.
Okay.
And I was 13. I was diagnosed going into high school. In March of that year, I flew to D.C. and I got trained to start speaking on
okay,
behalf of Tourette's. And for me, it's not just Tourette's, because I have Tourette's.
Right.
But you have something totally different than
mm-hmm,
me. You have something totally different
yep,
from me. Doesn't matter what
that
it is.
With
everybody
that,
has something that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has something that makes them who they are, makes them different.
Right.
And so it was less about just talking about Tourette's for me, and it was more talking about everyone's differences
okay,
and accepting others for who they are and accepting yourself for who you are. Because if you can't accept yourself, then what's the point of accepting others
right,
at that point? Because that's the first thing you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was less of a slap in the face and more of like, how do I change other people's lives for the better.
Yeah.
And
how do I use this for good?
Exactly, yeah. Because my favorite quote that I made myself with some friends that is that there's opportunity within our differences.
Totally.
And so I had this thing where I was diagnosed with this thing that I'm very lucky is not a very severe case, but it could hold me back and it could stop me from what I'm doing. And it it does affect me in the day on the daily and like every day in my life. But how can I use that for to my advantage? And how can I, because it's something that makes me different. So why don't I run with that?
Totally.
And so I guess that's where, I don't know, I kind of just went off on a tangent, but.
So it never really defined you is the
biggest thing.
No, and
that's the thing. There's a quote that the TSA says, it's like, I think it's just the Tourette's doesn't define me. There's something like that. There's probably way more to it than that, but it's true. And it is a piece of me, just like music's a piece of me and just like my family's a piece of me, but it's just a piece of me.
Right.
You know,
it's not all of you.
And as I said, I'm very lucky that mine is not severe. And I have friends who it is so bad. Yeah. Their daily life is totally, totally affected by it. And mine is in a small capacity compared to theirs. It's nothing, which I'm very lucky and I'm very grateful for, but it definitely doesn't define me. And it, as I said, it helps my music and I don't tick when I'm playing music. Like my mom noticed, like if I'm playing like an hour set, I'll tick maybe 5 times.
Okay.
But if I'm sitting at home for an hour, I'll tick maybe 100 times.
Wow. What do you think is the difference?
It's weird to say because there's no cure for Tourette's. There's no medication for Tourette's. They haven't found it
yet. And like, what's the, I guess like the science behind it? Like,
okay. Yeah. So, well,
I don't know much about it.
So say you have an itch on your arm. So you have an itch on your left arm. You can put your right arm behind your back. You don't have to scratch it, right?
Right.
It just gets more and more and more uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an involuntary feeling, but a voluntary movement. You decide to scratch that itch, right?
Yeah.
You don't decide to have the itch though.
Yep.
So say my winking tick. I feel a pressure in my eye, just like you feel an itch on your arm. I can't help the feeling.
Yep.
Now I don't have to wink, but the pressure keeps building and building and building and building and building. And once I wink, the pressure goes away.
Okay.
And so that's, I mean, you have to have at least one vocal tick to have Tourette's. And so I have my sniffing tick. I have a little hum. I have
Interesting.
A click in the back of my throat.
Okay.
And they're all involuntary feelings, but voluntary movements. So once I make those movements or make those sounds, that pressure and that thing that's uncomfortable goes away, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know really the science behind why I tick less when I'm playing. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like I'm focused. I'm focused on something.
Yep.
And like when I tick, I'm not thinking about it because I'm just doing it. I'm making that itch go away. You don't think about it when you're scratching an itch. You scratch the itch. I think it's just like I'm focused on what I'm doing. I'm doing something I love. And it's like I really don't know. But it's like I played a show the other day and I out of the 25 minutes I played, I maybe ticked once.
Wow.
It's really weird. It's really weird. And now we're talking about it. I'm ticking more.
You're focusing on it too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I really don't know the science behind it. But that's why, I mean, it's not why I do it, but it's a good reason to do it.
So it's more like, so you do think when you focus sort of on something else, that's when. Okay.
It's interesting. I really don't know why, but I'm not going to question it if that makes any sense.
Well,
you know?
I think it's interesting because it's almost like mental health. I mean, I feel like we live in a generation where we kind of define ourselves by our mental health, like, which is great because we're more open-minded than ever, but also like we let it define us. Like I have depression, I have anxiety, that kind of stuff. Like we literally let it define us sometimes. And I think like the problem with that is we focus on it so much that we forget that there's any other piece of who we are, essentially. 100%. So when we decide
to
not
focus, and that's when it gets
So when we decide to not focus on it, then it's like, well, this can't really define me anymore because it's like, it's still there.
Yeah, it's here.
But I don't have to think about it all the time, even if it's like making me suffer sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. Mm-hmm. And once you start letting it take over, once you start letting it affect you for the negative instead of finding something that's positive with it, then that's when it gets worse, I guess.
What would you say from your friends' perspectives who have had it worse? Like, what do they kind of do to...
It's crazy because a tick can be anything. Like I have a buddy who actually trained me to be a youth ambassador for Tourette's, where he would whip his leg around like as fast as he could, and he like tore through tissue in his leg. And like a tick can literally be anything. Like people can't drive, people paralyze themselves, people have seizures from it. Like and I think I don't know from each person in particular, but for example, my buddy Justin, who trained me, he found what he loves to do. He was speaking in schools too, but now he does the news. And it's funny because like the camera's on him all the time, but he's ticking.
Yeah.
And so he's open. He's accepting that with open arms and just putting the focus back on him, and he's doing what he loves. And I think that makes him tick less too, because that's just how it works.
Yeah.
So I don't know from their different perspectives exactly what each person does.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume it's around the same as finding something that you focus on and something that you love to do and you're passionate about.
Yeah.
That almost, for lack of better words, distracts you from the ticks.
Right.
So.
So when you go around speaking and you hear people's stories, what do you feel like has been like the most, either the most powerful story or the one that is maybe connected with your own the most?
Well, it's funny. It's like I'll go into these schools. It's mainly middle schools or high schools or camps, like Zach Brown's Camp Southern Ground. I do a lot of work with him and his kids who have disabilities.
Okay.
And his camp is centered around disability. And I want to do something in my life where not necessarily camp, but something that helps kids and kids who have something that makes a difference. And so when I go in these schools, it's funny, like kids will come up to me and they'll be like, oh, I think I have Tourette's. And like, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Or some kids actually do. They say they do have Tourette's and they're getting bullied in school. And I don't know if there's necessarily a story that sticks with me the most because each story is different.
Right.
And but I mean,
powerful. In
exactly. And people have come up to me with letters they hand me and say that the music has helped them so much and seeing that you can follow your, for so cheesy as it is, you can follow your dreams while having something that makes you different.
Yeah.
And that's all they needed to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not cheesy.
Oh, yeah. It's all they needed to hear, all they needed to see. And as I said, it's an opportunity within your difference. And so that's them having to find their opportunity within their differences.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Totally.
So.
How has that influenced your songwriting?
It's funny. I have a bad habit of only writing about girls.
Okay.
But it's because I'm a 20-year-old girl crazy
boy.
Yeah. I mean, I've written songs about what if I've wrote a song called That's Different, and I don't know if it'll ever come out, but it's kind of just like specific to my story of finding this thing I love to do and knowing I have this thing that could affect me in a negative way and taking it and running with it.
Yeah.
And it affects my songwriting because I don't know, every day I'm dealing with something.
Mm-hmm.
And my anxiety plays right into that.
Yep.
And you got to be an emotionally sensitive guy to write songs for a living.
Right.
And
totally.
I'm an emotional, sensitive, anxious dude who loves to write songs, who loves words and loves melody. And so I guess, I don't know if it's a great answer on how it affects my songwriting, but it does.
Yeah. Well, and would you say like the way you're overcoming all of this is just by owning it for one and then two, like, knowing that it is a piece of you, but it's not all of you?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Owning it is really the biggest thing. Hmm. Once you own it, then, like, what can people say?
Right.
Like, what can they say?
Right, totally. Cause
and
like,
I didn't necessarily get bullied about my Tourette's. I did some, but mine wasn't very forward and out there, so they didn't know. But I owned what I was doing with my music.
Okay. And like, being different and all
being
that
being different
stuff.
And doing something that's different, and it's working.
Yeah. And people are going to make fun of you for it, and like,
yeah,
there's going
like,
to be haters, but you got to keep going.
Cool. Like, say it. Like, makes you push harder.
Right.
And so it's owning it is the biggest thing. Owning what you love to do and owning what makes you different.
Yeah, I love that.
And letting other people do what they do,
because
everybody is different.
Right.
Like, when I go and do these talks, I literally just, I'm like, you're different from me, I'm different from you. And that's just how it is. And we got to accept that.
Yep.
Because it's not changing.
Right. Would you say that you've kind of, like, looked at those people who have made fun of you in the past, and do you feel like you've actually been able to forgive them and stuff too?
Yeah, I'm not mad at them. It was actually funny. I FaceTimed one of my buddies from home recently, one of my best friends, James. And he lives on this street, and a new family just moved in.
Okay.
And this family moved in with next to this kid I used to go to school with, not James, but another kid.
Okay.
Who was part of the group that hated me for what I did.
Really?
Hated me. And so James, his mom, was overhearing this conversation with this new family and this kid who would bully me a lot in high school. And they're asking him about the high school. And like, he was like, oh, some famous people have come out of there. This one of my best friends, Dylan from high school, is about to be big in country music. And so James's mom is overhearing this conversation where this kid is blatantly lying. And she goes home and tells James, and he's dying. And he FaceTimed me, and he's telling me this story, and I'm just dying. And it's like, it's whatever. Like, I don't really care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's just like, dude. Like,
right.
You said such
you
mean
sucked.
Things. You sucked in high school. And everyone sucks in high school.
Right, like, totally. People are,
it's a time where you're figuring stuff out. And everyone's still figuring stuff
even
out.
Even if you mean well, sometimes.
But it's just so funny. And I don't know. It's just hilarious. It's just like such a recent example. And like, I don't care. Like,
you can just say
it's not like I don't forgive. It's just like, just don't say it. You know,
totally.
And I just think that's hilarious that this kid is like, oh, one of my best friends from high school, Dylan, is like doing really well in country. Like,
you were so mean to me.
You were so mean to me. And James, my buddy over here, is like,
yeah,
he's my best friend.
So that's hilarious. So funny. Yeah. Okay. So who would you say has like really held you up through all of this? It sounds like your family.
My family,
yeah.
My friends. Mm-hmm. I have the best people around me in my life. My team. Everyone's mm-hmm. the number one thing for me is that there's no mean people. I have another word I use for it, but it's a bad word. There's no, and that's number one rule for me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done.
Okay.
If you don't treat people the right way, then what's the point of working with you?
Right.
And so I surround myself, my team, my friends, my family is already the best people in the world. There needs to be good people. And those are the people that have held me up. Mm-hmm. And I have a habit of being so loyal to people and trying to be everybody's best friend. And I think that can hurt you, but also work in your favor.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
So I want to be everybody's best friend and I want everybody to feel the same way back, if that makes any sense. And so those are the people that hold me up. They're the best people in the world around me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then like, if there's been times maybe where you like, maybe you fall back into like, I don't know, thinking like just being really insecure and stuff. What do you do now? Cause like you've really, okay. You do?
I mean, what else do I do?
Yeah.
I say I'm not great at much else.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like facing your emotions and then like literally getting it out of you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I surround myself with the people I love and I write mm-hmm. songs about it.
Yeah.
Or I just write songs. It doesn't have to be about it. I just write songs because I'm doing something I love. And
right.
And it's like, I'm a very confident person. I know mm-hmm. what I love to do. I know what I'm doing. I accept what I have. And even if you're the most confident person in the world, you still feel insecurity.
Totally.
Because words hurt and mm-hmm. I overthink like it's my job.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that helps with my songwriting because I'm such a perfectionist and I overthink everything.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how confident you are as a human being, who you are, what you have, what you do, you can be the most secure in yourself ever, but you can still feel insecurity. And I still feel that. Like, as I said, I never strayed from what I love to do. And I took what I have, my difference, head on, and I ran with it. But you still feel insecurity. Totally. And so I write songs. I surround myself with the people I love and, like, just kind of, like, put your head down and run through it.
Yeah.
You know?
And when would you say, too, that you, like, realized that you were pretty confident? And how do you, like, almost how did you, like, get up to that point? Or were you just sort of always like that?
It's almost like I'm the most confident, insecure dude ever, if that makes any sense. Like, I'm confident in who I am. I don't know. I feel like I keep talking in circles. I don't know how to say it. You know, like, it's like, when did I realize I was confident? I don't know.
Yeah.
I would, when I was 3 years old, run up to my family and just sing God Bless America on the xylophone. And I just always wanted to be in front of people.
Yep.
And I, as conceited as it sounds, I always wanted the attention on me.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm doing what I do, it because I love it. And I want to put myself in front of people and I want to change people's lives and I want to help people for the better through my music. And I want to use my music as a platform for it because right now, I mean, it's working, but it's not where I want to be yet.
Okay.
And so like when I did work with Disney Channel and they did Make Your Mark on me, what I was doing for Tourette's and everything, that gave me a platform, a way broader platform than I ever had before.
Okay.
And so my music is what I obviously, it's the thing that I put my blood, sweat, and tears into and I always have. But once I get to close to where I want to be, and as I'm getting there, and until I reach that point, until I'm have the biggest platform I have along the way, and once I'm there, I want to use that platform to get my message into a bigger. It's broader then, and it's affecting more people.
It's more than just about you.
Well, it's more than just the gym full of kids I go speak to. Then it's the entire world, and I can get the entire world my message.
Right.
So I don't know when I realized I was a confident guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it kind of just...
You just kind of always knew.
I mean, it's funny. My brother and I are polar opposites. And Cody's confident, but Cody's quiet. And I'm kind of the guy who just like will walk up to anybody.
Yeah.
Except for a pretty girl.
That's and will
my
he do
one
that?
Problem. Will Cody do that? I don't know if Cody will do that. But...
All right. Well, you've got something to work on. When
exactly.
You
oh, it's a daily struggle. It's a such a sad life I live. Yeah. Yeah, I'm confident other around pretty girls. Okay. And I've always just been a confident, I don't know, I'm just, I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I want other people to know who they are.
Yeah.
Because not everyone does. And,
right.
And that's what I'm trying to get across. It's like, you have something that doesn't define you. It doesn't have to be Tourette's. It doesn't have to be such a noticeable thing. It can be the smallest thing, but that's just a piece.
Yeah, and I think that's like one of the most important things is like confidence equals knowing who you truly are.
Yeah.
Like knowing your strengths, knowing also things that maybe you're not so great at, but you know that you want to learn them.
Have you ever taken the Enneagram test?
Yeah, what are you?
So I'm so bad at remembering. It's like a 3-wing, 7.
Two? No, that wouldn't make sense.
Well, then maybe
the numbers
I'm wrong.
Next to each other.
I can't remember.
I don't care about
whatever
it, that much,
it is. My friends are obsessed with it.
Yeah, mine
and
too.
They made me take it. And the coolest part about it is it had me down to a T.
Okay.
But also it told you what you have to work on. And it's like, it was almost like so eye-opening because everyone has something to work on. No matter what you're doing, always something to work on.
Totally.
And so like, it was so down to a T. It was so eye-opening. I was like, oh my gosh, like a lot of things I got to change.
Yeah.
But
except you don't remember what you are.
Except
so you
don't. That's one thing
you
I have
need
to work
to change.
On.
No, I'm kidding.
Exactly. Well, I don't know why I can't remember. Everyone, once I bring it up or if someone brings it up to me, they're like, oh, what are you? I'm like, I can't remember.
I'm a 3-1.
I have it screenshotted in my phone. Like, I
there
can't
you
remember.
Go. That's all you need. I'm like success focused, but I love helping people at the same time. So
I think I'm probably somewhere around there.
I feel like you would probably be a 3-wing, 2 or 4.
What do I have to work on?
I don't know. You tell me.
I can't even remember. It was just so down to a T.
Yeah. Well, and like that's the cool stuff with not technology, but like psychology, I guess nowadays is I think there's so many studies about like really helping people to identify who they are and stuff and what they can work on.
Exactly, because as you said before, like everyone's so like everyone knows about mental health and everyone knows about anxiety, everyone knows about depression and everything, but we all know about that, but we need to find out who we are because that's not just who we are.
Right, totally. And then like really the last question would just be who would you – well, no, actually, before that, like, what has maybe been a quote that you've heard or a story that you've heard that's really just connected with your own?
So
that helps you to define your own
2 years ago, I met Joe Don Rooney from Rascal Flatts.
Okay.
And so Rascal Flatts is my favorite band.
Okay.
Ever. Like, since I was 2 years old, my mom, as I said, grew up down south. And Flatts have been my the reason I do country.
Yeah.
I grew up in New York. No one listens to country music but me. Until now, when it's on such a broader thing, no one listened to country but me, and it was Flatts.
Yeah.
And I met Joe Don 2 years ago, and we met at this event through a mutual friend. It was actually through the Zac Brown stuff I was doing.
Okay.
And I met him, and I played a few songs, and he played after me. And then he asked me to play Life is a Highway with him that night.
Whoa.
So I'm dying inside, forgetting words, forgetting melody and everything. But he gave me his number, I gave him mine, and he said, let's work on something.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously I wanted to, but I didn't think anything of it. He's in Rascal Flatts. Why would, like, this was 2 years ago. And he texted me, like, 2 days later, asking me if I have management, if anything. And then the way we ended that text is he texted me, just keep on picking. And he said, he told me later on that Vince Gill, his favorite artist ever, wrote on Jodan's ticket, Jodan's first concert, keep on picking.
Whoa, okay.
And so it's almost funny. It's like that affects my music. It's like keep on picking, keep on playing.
Yeah.
But also like keep on picking, like just keep going through life. Keep like doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And
dang, that gave me chills.
It's crazy because he's like he's become one of my best friends now. Like I'll go over and hang out in his pool house till 3 o'clock in the morning just hanging out. Damn. But like he is the reason I do country music.
Okay.
And the reason I love music so much.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold me that thing and it has stuck with me.
Yeah.
And it's just keep on picking, keep on going, keep doing what you're doing.
And then you'll share that with other people too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. And then who would you say Dylan Brady is right now in your life? I feel like you've already described it, but like sum it up into, I don't know, a couple words.
I think I'm still the kid who just loves music.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing has changed. I've never strayed. My dad says all the time, my brother's so good at so many things that he could pick whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that I'm not good at things, but I found this thing that is me since literally, I said I was 3 years old, walking up to my family, playing my xylophone and singing God Bless America.
Yeah.
And it's still the kid who I did a project in high school and it was about what people would say about me. And it was for like a music class. And like, and I don't know how to explain it, but there was this picture of me when I was 3 years old singing and it was covered up by different words people said about me. And at the heart of it, I just had that it's a kid who loves to sing.
Okay.
And so it's still that kid. And it's a kid who's found who he is.
Mm-hmm.
who realizes what he has and ran with it.
Yeah.
And never strayed from what he was doing the whole time.
And you're sharing it, too.
Yeah, and people. I just want to change people's lives. I just want I want to help people realize they can accept what they have and accept what... And that's the biggest thing. Because once you accept yourself, then what you have to accept others, too.
Right, totally.
And so it's just to help people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the biggest thing. And be all their best friend and show them that they have a friend.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, cool. Well, where can people find you on social media?
Everywhere. It's Dylan C. Brady. On Instagram, Twitter, and
Facebook,
and I think it's Dylan Brady Music on Facebook. But
okay,
and the single just came out last month. It's called Over Us.
Okay, yep.
And the EP is coming out pretty soon. And
Spotify, really, Apple Music,
everywhere,
all those.
Everywhere. Okay. Dylan Brady, Over Us, and I'm really excited because I've found what Dylan is in my music too, and I've been working really hard for a long time to find it and
like your unique sound.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like. I'm different because I have this thing that makes me different, but I also want to bring that through in my music. Like, I don't want to just be another artist. Like, I want to find what Dylan is in my music.
Totally.
Because then it's ironic. If I know who Dylan is outside of my music half defines me. Like, I got to find what Dylan is. And so I found this thing that makes me different, I think, and found my sound, and I'm really excited to share it with
the
world.
This is very authentic now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, kind of not playing by the rules, if that makes any sense.
Love that. Yep.
So.
Because that's how you know you're going to, like, go far essentially because and have longevity too I think is the biggest thing.
Well, like, why would you? I found this thing that's different and I found my own lane and no one's in that. Like, if you're staying in the lane of everybody else and there's a lot of people in front of you, but if you find your own lane, you run with it, there's no one in front of you. And so I found this thing that I'm really excited about, and every day I'm trying to find what Dylan is in my sound and in life, but I don't think I'll ever stop looking for it. But I found this thing where right now it really represents who I am, represents what I want to share with the world.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Excited about it.
Well, thanks for coming on and talking about not only like Tourette's, but also like who you feel like you really are and like who you're becoming too now, it sounds like, with your music and stuff, because maybe before that you weren't necessarily so authentic and you were like trying to play the game a bit.
Trying to play the game, but why play the game? You got to reinvent.
Yeah.
Those rules are meant for breaking.
Right.
And you got to play the game, but reinvent
a little bit.
The game.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Totally.
Even though I have no game with girls.
Thanks for being honest about
Exactly.
Yeah, no, but seriously, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah. This is really like, it's kind of like the Enneagram test. It's like eye opening. Exactly.
I try to make it like therapy.
Exactly.
Just not as deep, but.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, thank you so
much. Thank
you. If you want more life-giving conversations like what you heard today with Dylan, you can click the big red subscribe button. Also, go follow me on Instagram. It's The Rage Boss. You're going to find some weird and wild, hopefully some also inspiring content on there as well. So yeah, we appreciate you tuning in today and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.